for the purpose of critique, review, and education. This is the Nerdlings Podcast on the Shiny Squirrel Podcast Network. I'm the Crypt Keeper. Let's open it and go in and see what your host, Jersey Mike and WC Chronicles, has for this Halloween episode.
It's close to midnight, and something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but
he is one scary mother effer. You talk about the Crypt Keeper. Wow, what do you say, this is Jersey Mike, the junior host.
That was a perfect introduction. Thank you, Crypt Keeper.
Wow.
So this is our Halloween edition of the podcast.
I can't believe we are at that time of year. The heat's gone. It is now time for pumpkins, apple cider, apples,
ghouls,
goblins, ghosts, all kinds of crazy Halloween candy.
Halloween has got to be one of my most favorite holidays because it's just, you know, you get to create, you can be afraid of something, you can be afraid of the unknown.
You could be a 40-year-old or a 400-year-old. It's your choice.
It's your choice and however you want to play it. So I'm playing a card that I've been holding in my back pocket for about 2 years
now. And what's this card? I really want to hear it. Is it a trump card?
It's kind of a trump card.
Is it the red card from soccer that you get? Red card?
It's better than that.
It's better than getting fouled in soccer. Let's hear this.
It's something that happened to me back in October 1981. I must say 1981. Ish.
Wow, now that's a ways over the wave of life.
So this is something I've talked to a few local people, showed them a few pictures of the plaster cast of the footprints. Already giving you a little clue here.
Wow, I'm very curious to see what this is, but I'm going to say it's nothing to do with Scientology.
No.
It's nothing to do with the Martians that are supposed to be out at Area 51.
No.
What is it?
I'm going to talk about, I've never committed this to some kind of recording. I've kind of thought about it since about 1998, but never got around to it. Now it is the time I want to talk about and tell the story about my encounter and my family's encounter with Sasquatch. Bigfoot.
Oh my gosh. So you actually had an encounter with the Sasquatch from Canada.
The
mysterious.
Dating back to the 1700s, 1800s, where Indians will have folklore and talk about him, about Screaming Man.
And some of us Star Trek fans or Star Wars fans swear Chewbacca has to be modeled after something with that.
Something like that. There's been some. Do you remember in the 70s there was Bigfoot and the Bionic Woman?
Oh, I remember. Oh, I remember the Bigfoot and what was the other cartoon based on that?
Well, there was
Captain Caveman.
There was also Harry and the Bigfoot went
corporate.
Yes, corporate.
Harry and the Hendersons.
So there's a lot of stuff, but I just feel that it's time for me to put my experience of what I encountered onto some kind of committed recording, and this is it right here.
I think
what
this
better
is,
than Halloween?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is like our podcast time capsule of something that happened to you that you're going to put out there forever, and it's ready to roll.
So, again, I want to say it was 1980. I was in eighth grade. This was right after Mount St. Helens up in Washington State had blown up. May 18th was the big explosion.
Oh, wow.
There has always been said that there was a good portion of size of family of Bigfoots that live up in the Mount St. Helens area. Mount St. Helens blows up. One may think, well, these Sasquatches, they are getting the heck out of Dodge.
Or the poor things died, or, you know, what do they call that? Can't breathe, you know, to death.
Asphyxiation, suffocation,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, like in fire.
Yeah, so one of the thought and the theories is, as I get into the story here, is that that's where the one we encountered came from, in that direction.
So you actually encountered one of these?
Yes, I encountered it.
Wow.
So I want to say it was October 1980. This is several months, because where I was at in Southwest Portland, you're a good 3-hour drive from Mount St. Helens, okay? Lots of wilderness, but you're going to be getting into Columbia River Gorge, Willamette River. You know, how could something... You got to understand, these things are very stealthy. Very, very hard to see. We still don't have clear pictures except maybe trail cams, which I will get into a little bit more later. So, I was in eighth grade. I was homesick. I remember the weather that day was kind of not raining, but it kind of breaking the rain. I was down in the basement playing video games because I wasn't feeling well. Down in our basement at my parents' house, we have these window wells, meaning that it's a window and then it goes up so that the window is kind of lowered down about 3 feet.
So nobody could break in or you can't break out.
Nobody, yeah, and you really can't see in. We had a see-through curtain in front of that just to kind of make it
look
a little peeling.
So this is one of these like movies, like since we're in Halloween, that the killer has you trapped there and you think you're going to get out, but lo and behold, Mabel foxtrotted you in. You're stuck. Thanks, Mabel.
Well, my mom is part of the story. She'll be in a second. So I remember, I'm sitting there just playing video games. It was the Atari 2600, playing video games. This was if I have to put a date on, I'm gonna say October 8th, 1980, okay? I remember I look up over at the window well, and I remember there's two neighbors across the street from us. Across from us, there's no house, there's a cow pasture, because this is still rural. Across the field from our house, where we are, there was a cow pasture, then there was another house, and then another house where my friends Tony and Gaylord live. They're students, they're about 9th and 10th grade, a little older than me. They had two dogs. One was a collie named Chief, and then they had another dog that was a Doberman Pincher. I remember, I look, I hear this there's some kind of commotion. We have our shrubbery out there. There's ivy growing all over, juniper. And so anything that moves around, you're gonna hear it.
Oh.
And so I look up there. There's something. I hear some kind of noise looking up there. Boom, 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 boom. And I see what is to be the two dogs. They're just their feet and their fur run past the window, running past to my what would be my right, running south. And the thing is, you go about maybe 30 steps, and that's the corner of the house. We have a fence there. My dad put in place basically to keep other kids or, you know, what if
we had
goats at this time, a lot of things, if an animal got loose, basically to stop anybody from going through there. I look up again and I see the dogs run back through there, run back past, and then I look up again the third time, hearing all this commotion going. I'm still sitting down, I'm not looking up, and I look up and I see these two large hairy feet scurry past the window in like 1 second time. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, wow.
I see the dogs go
again.
Did
they have a third dog?
No, just the two dogs. So I see these two big hairy feet go across outside. Boom, boom. Remember reflecting on that on the Patterson film from 1966 that everybody's familiar with. Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, is carrying it's how it moves itself because it's large in stature.
Yeah.
I see these two large hairy feet moving, walking in kind of what would be what I have see visible in that kind of format, that carrying that much weight.
Oh wow!
I see the dogs basically come like halfway again, and then they take off. I'm kind of like just dumbstruck. Okay, and in about a period of about four heartbeats. Hang on, I gotta drink some water here because I've never told this whole story.
This sounds very like we're coming to the intense part of it.
There's a lot of intense part about it. So I yell, I go, Mom, I go booking upstairs. My mom like, what, why are you yelling? I meet my mom in the upstairs entryway. I go, I just saw two large hairy feet outside the window well.
Wow.
And my mom's like, what are you talking, my mom's just like, because they're getting this is 1970, this is this time, and
mom doesn't really believe you all.
Well, yeah, not a lot of urban sprawl like we have in big metro cities like Portland, like we're here in Vegas, okay? Still a lot of open, a lot of woods, floodplains, a lot of overgrowth areas. So my mom says, like, what are you talking? I'm like, I'm going outside. And my mom's like, immediately, like, hold on, you're not, just wait a minute. We go outside. And I'm like, I remember I'm standing, I'm gonna kind of push this position, my body here to as I'm telling the story, because I'm not, you see, no paper, I'm not,
no
notes, I'm doing this all from recall. I remember standing in front of the, I saw two hairy feet go like this, and then I saw Chief and the other dog, whatever its name was, head back up the street. They're heading out of there.
Wow.
Something scared them, bad enough. So my mom's like, what are you talking about? So I go, it went this way. And we walk over, basically, those number of steps to where the fence is. The fence is just mashed down.
Dogs couldn't do that.
Now, if you imagine, you, you're in a pasture, that a good electric fence is going to be probably up about maybe mid-chest or even up at your belly button,
yeah,
right there, okay? This thing was probably crushed down between to... It's still recording. Yep. Crushed down to the point of about maybe the lower level of like your knees or between your knees and your waist.
So something really with some force had to do something.
It had to smash it because it would have to be something tall pushing it down, because if you're going to mash a fence down, you're about 6 feet tall. You're going to be pushing it down, your arms out in front of you and pushing it down to
exactly
get to maneuver your body.
Yes.
Over. This is something that was probably much taller,
much heavier,
larger,
yeah,
and pushing it down to
wow
get through there. Whatever it was wanting to move and get away quick.
Wow.
Now, on this particular day, the weather was not raining at the time. It was overcast. There was a bit of a wind, probably, I'm going to say, between 8 and 10 miles, blowing from the east, which always would happen a lot at this time of year in the Northwest. The east winds, as they refer to it as.
I was just going to say, yeah, the winds. Wow.
Well, okay, so the wind is blowing, but now Bigfoot has always been known to have a very stringent odor to it because the thing doesn't bathe. That's a key thing that a lot of other Bigfoot observations or sightings, there's a stench, an odor, and an obnoxious smell in the air.
And you smelt it.
We didn't smell it yet.
Oh, okay.
Because this wind, the wind is blowing. It's whatever is
whatever
in the air.
Whatever crushed it, yeah.
Well, whatever smell and odor is in the air that's going to be coming off of it, it's
going to
blow
yeah
away real fast, okay? So all we know is something just crushed the gate. And between that and heading out to the backyard, again, you're going to be talking about it maybe another 25 paces through this little alcove, which is probably about maybe 10 feet wide on the side of the house. On the other side of that is another fence and what we call the cow pasture. So there's shrubbery through there, so we can't see what is on bond there. So we're just kind of like, we go back into the house. We go, the conversation, like, something just went through here. We're not saying what it is.
You don't know what it is.
We haven't seen anything
wow
yet. And then we're like walking down the stairs, because we got kind of a, like, there's the basement. There's what we call the next level, the TV room, then the living room, kitchen, front door area of the level of the house.
And okay, the layout of the house.
Yeah, the layout of the house.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So we are walking down to the lower TV room area where there's a big, large glass windows where we look out. We look out, and we always, my parents always had at least one steer per year, one year per year for killing, for meat the previous year. You can get some water here. We look out, and the steer, which is probably a pretty good size, is in the middle of our yard. Now you've seen, like, rodeos?
Yes.
All right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
These are pretty docile cows. We've raised them since calves. The cow we have, we would name them, I can't remember the name, but it is out there bucking and just, it's like buckle bronco. It's like, we have never seen a cow act like this before, ever. And it's just like, what the bloody, and I'm like, the cow's loose. My mom's first like reaction is, let's get out there and get him back in the pen. Well, we get outside there and we observe the cow kind of like moving around, and we're kind of trying to herd it, keep it, not going up and grabbing it by the collar or something, kind of just like trying to contain it. But we had this large gate that led into the cow pasture where we also had an orchard and other trees, and apple trees and stuff, cherry trees. The gate was basically on hinges on the right side. On the left side, there would be this loop handle that we would take and put over it just to keep it from coming open, okay? That gate was basically broken off the hinges on the right side.
And that's how the cow found its way out.
That's how the cow got
wow
out in the pasture, okay? So,
for something to do this to that fence and that big gate, something's not right here.
Yeah, it's just the fence is basically just off, lopsided, hanging on this little loop on the weight of the fence.
Wow.
And the cow is just going ballistic shit, okay? We take a moment, we herd it back in. It's hard to put a timestamp on. Maybe a minute, because there's me, my mom, my younger brother, Doug, who is maybe 2 years younger than me at this time. He would be in sixth grade. He's homesick too. Flu season. All right, so we get the cow back in, kind of jimmy rig the gate back into place, and we go down there right next. So you had the gate, And then you would walk a little farther, and we had this open door barn. It was a storage barn that we had to store hay, the barrel of grain, and then there was the feeder that we had inside there where you would put hay in because the cow would come around undercover and eat.
Oh.
Okay? We go.
Wow.
We're like, get some grain. Maybe we can calm the cow down or something. We go and we walk into this barn, our barn. I want to say it's probably about maybe, I like to use steps. How many steps? It would be about maybe 15 steps in deep and would be maybe about 10 steps across. We had 25 bales of hay in there stacked up fairly high. We go in there, we start to walk in there. Bales of hay are thrown around like little toy cars.
Wow, so now we know something you saw with two hairy legs.
Something's been in there.
Crushed the fence, ripped the doors off its hinges of a big gate.
The barrel.
And they're throwing around big bales of thing like it's yeah.
Like
what do you call it?
Toys.
A twig.
Yeah.
A twig.
Because if you've ever bucked hay, they're not, you know, they're heavy, but these things are just thrown around like crazy. The barrel of grain, which we usually had between 60 and 80 pounds of grain in a garbage can, this was, we fed the cow, kept it shut. That thing was basically picked up and hurled up onto the top, knocked over.
Wow.
Inside this, it was like a picture, like a well going down, a little box, and it had slats on there like this. That's what you'd put the hay in. The cow would come around and eat hay. Some of the slats there was maybe four of them, smashed and broken.
Wow. Now this thing's furious.
Something is getting vicious and furious or scared
yeah.
to hell, okay?
Wow.
So we noticed, all right, so it had like a carport. We called it the cowport. It was a roof thing that would hang over on the one left side of the barn in the cow pasture. The cow could come in and eat the hay and we kept it dry.
And this was a cow that went moo, like a regular cow.
Yes, yes.
They're pretty big.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine what this thing must be doing all this damage.
The electric fence that we had in the perimeter of the cow pasture knocked down.
Wow.
So it...
Not only big and furious, fast, because it's doing all this fast.
Yes, this is all over a period of probably like 2.5-3 minutes.
Wow.
Four max.
It's almost indestructible.
We had these fir trees that would lead down to another gate. It probably went through there and then extended and then got itself over this fence very quickly. But the way we had barbed wire on it and they had clips on them that kept it pretty staunch, unlike that other one. So it got itself over that really quick and moved across the pasture quick.
Wow.
We found how it was kind of mashed down a little bit, not as much as the first one, but it was like something is going through here and it's in. I'm wanting to go, let's go, let's chase it.
Not your mom.
My mom is like, you know,
as
an example, my mom's
yeah.
like holding on to me, pulling me on my shirt. You hold on, just a minute.
Yeah.
We go into the cow pasture, proceed to walk across pasture very openly. It we have a few trees through there. We're looking for, you know, keeping our eyes open. We get down to the other side. So you're walking south and you start to walk southwest towards the corner, okay? We get down to this corner, there's berry vine bushes.
Oh, they gotta be with thorns and stuff, right?
Well, they're kind of growing there, so you really don't get to that part of the fence, but up by another part of the fence, broken electric fence, more mashed down fence.
Wow.
This is when we start to kind of, because we're basically tailing it, essentially.
Yeah.
We're on its tail. That's when we can start to smell a stench in the air.
Wow. What does it smell like?
I knew you were going to ask that. It is, it's a very pungent, well, imagine any creature that's just hairy. Imagine dreadlocks, okay? If you don't wash your hair, it's going to get matted, and you're going to have an odor that's going to, and another thing, birds do not chirp. They are, other animals, other creatures are out. There were no birds, you heard nothing. There's a stench in the air, and I remember, so we look, I'm like, look, about 80 yards away, up in this grove of, I want to say about, I'm using my arms here just to demonstrate, of about, there's like a big tall Douglas fir trees. There's like one here, another one here, and another one right here. Look up, and the creature, the Bigfoot, has moved into the dark, shadowed area of these trees.
Oh, wow.
And I remember him kind of doing like this. You know, he stops like that. And remember, okay, we're talking about the Grimace, the Patterson Gremlin film.
Yeah, the structure, the way he moves.
The way
yeah.
he moves. Big, big lot of weight there. I remember him turning around looking like that. It wasn't like a direct look. I'm going to look at you head on in your face. But you could turn around and you could see the kind of like a brow. Like
really?
Like a face, you know. It's still recording. You could see, you turned around, looked at us. That connection went on for maybe 2 seconds.
Really?
And then he very quickly, I'm going to just make the assumption, hightailed it on to wherever the hell, let me get back to the mic here, wherever the hell he's going.
Wow, how did you feel having a experience like that with Sutsquatch? Not alone by yourself, but your mom and your younger brother. That's got to be pretty terrifying.
It's pretty, well, because all these things, you just boom, boom, and you know, you start trying to deduct thinking, okay, was that one of the neighbor? No, this wasn't the neighborhood kid in a costume.
No.
And that's the thing. After we saw the connection, the eye connection, we saw the two dogs over in this field next to our cow pasture, adjacent property. They were coming in, and then they were quickly going out again.
So the dogs knew that the smell
not
was there.
Not to be wow. there, part of that thing. Not even one to face or deal with that thing. So my dad comes home. So basically, here's what we do. We walk back out. My mom says, like, I got to get that gate fixed. We got to keep the cow in.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Now, you guys weren't scared at all that you were going to have another experience? Got mad? Could have knocked those trees down the way it knocked those other stuff down.
Whatever it was, I'm going to say whatever it was, but still, no, it was a Bigfoot. It was a Sasquatch. It was moving fast.
Wow.
It didn't want to be there.
What did your mom, Mabel, react to like that?
Kind of I'm kind of like a lost emotion, speechless thing. She was like, I think she immediately focused on, I got to fix the hinge on that gate or Jimmy rig it until your dad gets home or something because we got to keep the cow in.
Wow.
But here's the thing. I said it was a little bit windy, but then our immediate encounter, when you're 80 yards away, you can smell that smell.
Wow.
Ooh, that smell. The wind, but here's the thing. The wind kind of carried whatever odor there was away. Maybe a minute and a half, you start to hear birds chirp again. You hear the natural ambiance of what you would
so
have.
So like the storm that blows through the
exactly.
oceans, just blows through like the hurricane, whatever, blows through, knocks everything down. Everything just eventually gets restored.
Exactly.
Wow, that must have been, what an experience.
But there's more. There's more to this. So my dad comes home about 5 o'clock. We said we saw Bigfoot. We take him and lead him through the whole story. And when he looks, I remember my dad looking at the fence and he's like, whatever pushed this fence down is big.
Wow.
Took him out to the barn, showed him how the bales, we left the empty can of grain, which had probably 60 pounds of grain up in there, just how it was just messed up, torn apart. My dad was like, probably the same reaction my mom was like, how do I react? How do I take something like this in?
Wow, yeah, you're not kidding.
So we could decide, okay, we got, for some reason, detective thought comes in. You know, like, where did this thing come from? Because we were right next to a big wooded lot on the north side of my parents' property. The wood, we called it the woods. That's what it was, a thick thicket of woods. The thing must have came out. We kind of tracked it because when we saw, we found what would be heavy, acted footprints in the bark dust.
Oh, wow.
In the flower beds that run adjacent to the driveway. So we kind of tracked this thing, figured out what its path it came up, probably turned into the driveway because the two dogs became aware of what it was and they're coming to investigate and chase whatever it is. So we kind of chased it. It must have went up the stairs and then that's when I saw the feet at the point.
Wow.
So we've traced it this far. Now, neighbors, the two neighbor kids who were kind of like older brothers to us, Tony and Gaylord, and their mom, Ginger, very enthralled and very curious about what this whole thing is.
Oh, I could imagine.
So for some reason, detective work, we were curious. Where did this thing come from and why? Well, the first thought is we kind of plug in and figure out the whole Mount St. Helens thing, a family of them, probably, maybe not, what we considered, what we probably saw was like maybe a junior, not a baby one, but I'm not going to say a full adult one. Maybe something one in its, like if it was an adult, like in its 20s.
Oh, wow.
This thing was at least 8 feet tall.
Wow.
To be that tall. Because if you're 8, if if we're 6 feet, imagine another 2 feet, your arms are going to be a little bit wider.
Oh, my gosh. Okay? Almost down to the ground? Could you imagine?
Yes. Okay, so we decide, okay, well, there's a there's an area called Fano Creek. It's a so it runs across the street called Bonita. There's a, no housing development at this time being in this area.
Wow.
There's some, I want to say minor housing development going on, but where the creek runs through, it's a floodplain. You can't build houses there, but it's a large wooded area. I want to say, when I say large, I mean like maybe 2 miles by 1 mile wide.
Oh, wow.
Which if a creature is moving at night, he could probably get through this and make, you know, move.
Yeah, nobody detects them, you know, no smell or anything.
Yeah. We're getting into the rainy season of Oregon, okay? We decide that we're going to try to see if we can go explore and see what we can find. So on a weekend morning, my dad, my mom, I don't know if my brother came along, the two kids, Tony and Gaylord, and their mom, Ginger, we went over just to go explore and start looking to see if we can come up with some kind of equation of what was going on. So we went looking in this very Douglas firred, treed grove area.
And this is where you had your encounter with it?
No. This is where we were trying to see, try to maybe trace a path of where it might have come
from.
Oh,
wow. Gotcha.
What we found was, because there's been a lot of rain happening, okay, so everything's going to be very, you know, we're talking two or three, you know, whatever, even if anything that makes a footprint in mud, 2 or 3 days of rain is really going to kind of wash it gone a little bit.
Gone.
What we did find was one whole footprint. We were able to get a plaster cast of that. And then a little bit farther down, we found about three, and this is going up a little incline of a hill where the water has been raining, so it's kind of trickling down. We found a toe, I'm gonna use my hand as an example. You got your foot like this.
Yeah.
The top part here where your toes would be, we found an upper third of a footprint.
No way.
That had the toes
defined
very well. But then we could see where, you know, like one, two, three, four. This thing, I mean, when you and I'm going to stay close to the mic. When you and I walk, a human stride is maybe, what, a foot and a half, 2 feet sometimes?
About that. Sounds perfect.
This one, this creature moving at a good gait, a good speed, its stride was probably about 4 feet.
Wow.
Now, 4 feet, okay, being 6 feet tall, you're talking about, you know, that's a pretty good, and to be doing that gait, your arms are swinging, you're moving.
Oh, yeah.
It's in this wooded area. Now, I remember, now back in the late 70s, they had this really shoddy Bigfoot movie.
Who's got the plaster Paris cast?
I do.
You have it?
I've shared it with a few, it's at my parents' house.
Oh, nice.
I've shared it with a few people. I think maybe I posted it on Instagram. I don't remember.
Wow.
But let me get to this part of the story. There was this movie that they did put these trigger wires up real high in this movie. And it was a fiction movie, but it was said that when the Sasquatch would break one of these trigger wires, it would send an alarm off on their reader board showing that something's moving through there because they put them up real tall. So I said, my dad, why don't we go? Let's get some thread. We'll run a tall piece of thread through here. And then the assumption Bigfoot is a vegetarian, I don't know. Let's put something out there that he might like. Because you go up this hill, you cut down, cross another trail, maybe, I wish I could give some proper distances, maybe 50 yards, down to by the creek bed where there would be something. Found some trees, ran a thread very high, probably about 8 feet high, over what would be our height, left some carrots there. We come back 2 days later. Okay, now there's a lot of wild animals, you know. Hey, maybe something. If a rabbit comes along and steals the carrots, but the carrots, the thread we got above is not going to be knocked down by a carrot, you know. Come back out. That thread is basically all marred and off into the brush, into an area all tangled up. Now, that's the one thing I want to say, because I was in eighth grade. This got out in the newspaper and the news.
Wow.
I took a lot of ribbing and a lot of teasing in school, but I stuck by my guns, and some of the kids were very interested in what it was, but they were afraid to step up and say, you know, they're afraid of being ridiculed or something. But that's where it is, okay? Now,
Did any scientific thing from the government or anything come and investigate?
I'm glad you asked that, because this is before the internet. The only thing you can do is exchange me. This is like before video recorders and cameras. We had a few private people, I'm going to call them armchair Sasquatch hunters, who came out to talk to us. And show us maybe some other pictures of plaster casts to look at ours. And we had, I remember this one guy, he was a mailman. He was probably, we're talking about 81, this is 38 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
He's probably deceased. I don't know.
38 years ago. Yeah. Wow, you're talking a distance ago when technology was like almost there.
Yeah.
Now it's...
Exactly. He brought, and we're just kind of newbies at this whole thing. We're not aware about, we're aware of the smell. We've learned that from watching other shows.
Now I've got a couple other questions.
Let me think about this guy. He was a mailman. He was kind of a hobbyist. He came out and talked to us and spent an afternoon telling us. He looked at our plaster cast, and he's like, those are definitely the real thing. You know?
Wow.
He had some audio tapes of Bigfoot's whatever word you want to use, howling, screaming, yelling, whichever. He played these for us.
Oh, wow.
And I pulled a few examples off of the internet of what it was, because then we realized, wait a minute. All right, now, it wasn't any time when we were over in this wooded area, which was like maybe a quarter mile away where we put the thread up. Never heard any howling, screaming like that. But we did kind of in time realize we've heard these hollers maybe once or twice or thrice. It leads to he gave us a copy of these audio tapes of this collection. Now, which brings us to now this is, I'm gonna categorize this as a 50-50 chance, okay? He gave us a copy of the Patterson guy. I want to say Bill. I'm sorry if I'm going to mispronounce his first name. Bill Patterson, I think is his name, who filmed this Bigfoot thing. He heard the creature yell while him and Gremlin were out there Northern California in 1966 or 67. I apologize if I got the year wrong. He went up into an attic, a very echoey attic, because he wanted to replicate the sound that he heard the Bigfoot yell. So you hear him talking. He's like, this is Bill Patterson, and it's very echoey. I want to duplicate and exemplify the sounds that we heard the Sasquatch Bigfoot make. This is my interpretation of what I heard. And he proceeded to go ahead and do that. I can't do it here. And the thing is, listening to this tape, this is just burned in my brain. They kind of took they took part of that and used it in the movie. But again, I'm not going to do it. Right? I do not think this is. You know how you got Animal Planet, all these new Bigfoot Hunter shows?
Yeah.
Bigfoot goes corporate, Bigfoot goes YouTube.
Such Squatch is found in Seattle or something crazy or sightings, yeah.
I think this tape that I have of Bill Patterson is, I've looked for it on YouTube. I figured maybe, somebody must have it and they've transferred it. I'm going to wait till Christmas. I'm going to get with my dad. I'm going to go through the audio tapes and see if I can find it.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Because this is something that...
That really has to be put out there.
It should be, because I haven't come across anybody. Now, maybe there's some Bigfoot collectors or enthusiasts who know what I'm talking about or do have a copy of it. Please. Reach out in shinysquirrelpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know. Tell me if this is floating around. Because maybe I got an earlier generation of it or something.
Fur, anything ripped on the trees or fences or anything?
One may think that there was something that would be snagged on the barbed wire fence. Didn't find anything.
And no other, like, you think any other of them with it together, or this one just alone trying to find its crew, or what do you really think?
That's the thing. Alone trying to find his crew, because when Mount St. Helens blew up on May 18th, well before that and after, and there's been Indian folklore and tales and truthism to it that there's a family of them or a clan of them, whatever, or Bigfoot and his crew, I like the way you say that, up there in Mount St. Helens. The mountain blows up. Nothing can survive there. It's getting the heck out.
And they might have known ahead of time before this thing's going to go. They just might have took off.
Yeah. And somehow just go.
Well, let's see this tape or hear this tape you have.
Okay, so what, do you want to do the sound bites or the because here's
I want to see the movie first from that guy's clip.
You want to see the Bill Patterson?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me
you don't mind because that gets like visual.
Let me pause this for a minute. Let's pause the podcast
because we can get visual.
Okay, so we're back. Jersey has never really seen the Patterson film.
No, just viewed it.
What you see there, that is generously what we saw.
Wow, yes. That was moving fast and big, yeah.
Because
when
I described the gait and how it moves, it's got a lot of weight
exactly
and mass.
Exactly, just like that.
No, it was asked, you saw its face, what did it look like? So many trail cams that people put out. A trail cam, for those who don't know, that's a camera that you put out in the woods, high up in a tree, that's got a motion sensor on it. So it cast out a deer, a fox, a mountain lion, whatever. If something goes by and triggers it, the camera goes off and takes a picture of it. Or turns on the video apparatus of whatever it is. I've gone through YouTube and Google Bigfoot trail cam. I did come across what I personally feel is the closest, or is a Bigfoot, of the example of the face that we saw.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to show this to you right now. It's out there on YouTube. You can go see it. And I'm going to post it as we get ready for the Halloween.
Halloween.
I'm going to post these. I'm going to post these. This video that I'm taking. It's 2016 is what its label is on YouTube. Okay, so I just showed you the video of what the creature looks like when you look down on it. It's got some shoulder length there. I mean,
wow, somebody just got that recently, huh?
2016 is what it's tagged. I believe that one's real, and that is the face of Sasquatch.
What you saw, wow.
That is what I remember seeing. So let's play some of the audio.
Yeah.
Of what is said of the screaming.
Why those dogs went, dogs.
Yeah, you hear the dogs barking in that
think
one.
They think they're going to eat it or something.
That is one I found from a video called the famous Ohio Howler. That's still a Sasquatch, far as I'm concerned. And I got another one here from a tape that I took.
What is the facts on these, or the fiction of these? Are they all over the mountains, or they're just one group, an area?
You got to think Yetis, the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
There's different kinds and terms for it all around the world.
Do you think these crossbred and become different, like the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midland? You know what I'm saying? Did they crossbreed?
I think.
Are there dogs
and
stuff?
Yeah, I do believe it's a creature that the study of mother. I can't put the words together. Whatever it is, this is a creature that they don't have put in a category.
Wow.
Or, well, you know, it's like they're finding species in the ocean yet today. This is a species of something that they haven't been able to put in a category or categorize.
Okay. Wow.
So let me play this next audio one. This is one you can find on YouTube of the guy's on a road, and you hear it a lot closer. The guy starts to go down the tunnel. The thing howls.
Oh, wow.
I keep saying the thing like, but no, it's a Bigfoot. You'll hear it howl and scream. So here, let's play this, all right? Is the howling, yelling, screaming sound of Sasquatch. Where does that come to us in 2018?
Evidently, still out there, the family of them were what do you call that, species, or who knows how many are out there.
More and more fakes, but at the same, the internet has brought us the opportunity to see more potential ability, but then also there's the other side of the coin of the false.
Yes, the false.
The false claims. I know what I saw. I know what I experienced.
You know what you have.
I know evidence. What I have. I will share this when I go back, which won't be until Christmas time. I'll share the footprints
again. Oh, that'll be nice. Yeah.
You can see them. You can make your own judgment call, but I just wanted to get this committed to Halloween.
Perfect Halloween story.
It was time to share.
Yes,
because
there's a lot of ghouls and goblins, but there's not an actual Bigfoot story unless you encounter it like you did.
And the scream, the yell, we're going to be out doing we're going gold mining again, basically.
Yep.
I've been describing the scream a little bit here, kind of how like Roger Patterson was doing it. I realize I can do what he was. I'm emulating Roger Patterson and then his demonstration of it. When we are out tomorrow, when we're recording this, which you'll hear in a moment, my reproduction, I will do the Bigfoot yell tomorrow.
Oh, that's perfect, because there's plenty of space.
Here's the Halloween part. If you're going through the woods and you start to smell that stench, foul odor, you hear that in the background.
Is it Sasquatch, one or a dozen? Are you safe? Are you scared?
Still can't do it as I did it when I was 15 years old, but...
Because I think our lungs and our body is different, but that was pretty good. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to stand back here. Hang on. I'm going to stand back here so you can let it echo. We're about 15 feet apart in this cave. Now let's hear how it goes like now.
Now imagine a Sasquatch doing that, an 8-foot creature with the lung capacity to get the scream, because that's what it sounds like. Anyway, that's the Bigfoot podcast.